Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast, obviously, and it's available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Hope you're staying safe, hope you're staying healthy, hope you're staying good to one another, hope you watch some good movies this week, and I'll get to your list in a little bit, as well as my list, but first, some Indianapolis movie-oriented news.
Hey there, I'm Julia Ritchie, the senior programmer at Heartland Film. A few months ago, we had no idea what the Heartland International Film Festival would look like, but after some creative thinking, community partners, and a successful Indie Shorts International Film Festival, I know you will not be disappointed. Today, we're announcing the full film lineup for the 29th Heartland International Film Festival. This year's theme is the full spectrum of film to celebrate the diverse film genres, stories, and perspectives showcased throughout the festival. Whether you're looking for an investigative documentary, a quirky comedy, a frightening horror, or even a toe-tapping musical, you can be sure to find the perfect film among the 75 movies featured throughout the festival. Congratulations to all of our filmmakers who have been selected. We have more than 60 films that will be available to stream on demand and 30 outdoor screenings at the Tibbs Drive-In Theater and at our new Connor Prairie Drive-In. You'll even see a few of your favorite anniversary films under the stars. All of the film trailers, descriptions, and drive-in schedules are now available at heartlandfilmfestival.org. If you're a huge Heartland Film fan, you'll want to take advantage of our Early Bird Fest Pass sale. This is the ultimate way to enjoy the festival virtually and at the drive-ins. Again, thank you for supporting Heartland Film and the art of independent filmmakers from around the world. Happy festing.
Thank you, Julia. So there you go. Get cracking on that. So mark your calendars for the Heartland Film Festival, as well as marking your calendars in the shameless plug department. A radio version of Neil Simon's Plaza Suite will be happening as a part of Indie Bard Fest at the Cat Theater in Carmel. That's running October 2nd through the 4th and the 9th and 10th. Up in Carmel. You can go to thecattheater.com for information and times and all that. We're doing it as if it's a radio play, and it's being directed by yours truly. So that is happening up in Carmel. Okay. New in theater, well, new streaming, I guess, if your local art house theater is still open, you can go look for it. But The Best of the Lot is a film called The Nest, and it stars Jude Law and Connie Kuhn, for you fans of Fargo and Gone Girl, among others. And this is from writer-director Sean Durkin, who made a big impact with his first film, if you remember, Martha, Marcy May, Marlene. That's the film that put put Elizabeth Olsen on the map. And there's a similar tone to that film as there is with this film. Set in the 1980s, Law is a businessman who living in New York State and finally uproots his family and moves back to England. In fact, he gets an old 15th century castle to move in to go back to the company he used to work for. The kids and the wife think it's a bit too much, but they go along anyway. And as time goes on, things are obviously not as rosy as they appear, especially in the part of Law's character. I love the AV Club's description of it. They described it as a haunted house story with no ghost. And I wish I could steal that line. That's why I'm just sharing it with you now. But The Nest, like Martha, Marcy May, Marlene, has a tone of dread, not quite like Hereditary Midsummer dread, but it also has a similar theme in dealing with your past in the present. And as it looks like Jude Law's characters, all of his business transactions are happening in his way. They start to slowly fall apart, as do the dynamics of the family. Good performances from all four, especially by the parents, by Law and Kuhn, and it's a good balance of a downfall that you sort of see coming, and it's all wrapped around 80s Reaganomics. So anyway, it's a good grown-up picture, and it's courtesy of IFC Films. So go look for The Nest. Shifting gears, we have an absurdist comedy called I've Got Issues, voiced over by Jim Gaffigan, and it's a series of characters who sort of interact with each other, and eventually there is a sort of a bow wrapped in an absurdist way. I'll say absurd a lot in this particular review. It pokes fun of everybody from faith healers that are really just businessmen, secretaries who people who are expecting a higher position but is really offered a secretary role. If you find humor in a gentleman who gets a job, a paid internship at a white supremacy newsletter, and you see him in a white hood, taking out the recyclables, here's your film, folks. It has a tone and acting as if Kids in the Hall Brain Candy was written and directed by Stephen Wright. And that's the best thing I can tell you about it. Not a lot of funny, in my opinion, here. Maybe I would have gotten more out of this when I was younger. There was one genuine laugh that happens. There is a guy who's fallen for his neighbor, the literal girl next door, and he writes a song and winds up mailing it just to Hollywood. And the response back actually made me laugh out loud. So something to be said about that. You can't be the worst film of the year if you made me laugh out loud once. So, you know, way to go. Way to dodge a bullet. I've Got Issues. But, yeah, not my cup of tea over there. Shifting gears to what is on video, the best of the lot is probably from courtesy of Film Movement, A Tramway in Jerusalem. And it's about the train that connects both parts of the city of Jerusalem, and the commuters on that train. Some you see early on and maybe don't have a whole lot to do, but as time goes on, you know they're going to come back. The most familiar face in this particular film, and pardon my French if I'm butchering, Mathieu Amalric, who was the Bond villain in Quantum of Solace. He was also in The Diving Bell and The Butterfly and a bunch of other things. Early on, you see him in a silent scene, him and his son just listening to a street musician on the train. And after watching it, I thought, that's it. They were using that promotion, but, you know, using his name to push the movie that way. But as time goes on, especially if you're in this case, he's a visiting French tourist, he's going to show up on the train more than once. The connecting aspect of it, I liked. Somebody compared it to a cinematic mosaic, and do you or don't you get a beginning, middle, and end when you're following a character from one bus stop to another? Some would say no. I actually see it. And at times, because if you've ever ridden in public transportation, you don't get a beginning, middle, and end if you're eavesdropping or witnessing something happening and they leave or you leave. So it's got a naturalistic feel and a little voyeuristic in a good way, and pretty interesting characters. Everything from a soldier and a group of singing Hasidics. Two soccer coaches who are arguing, especially in front of a press and the camera and the fans. It's a cool mosaic, and it's out on Film Movement. Also out is the Indie Picks film Pilgrimage, and this was one that was a little tough for me to get into, and it's the travels of Mendes Pinto. who set off for India for fame and fortune back in the 1500s and spending a year at sea. And it's got all of the adventure, travel, discovery, you know, stories of ships and shipmates and what happens when you go to different lands. And I couldn't really get emotionally attached to it. What it did have going for it compared to anything else is that there were several moments of the crew that just burst into song, but not just any old music, but pop music from Portugal in the 1980s. This is a 2017 film from Portugal. It's almost like a Greek chorus feel, and that helped stood out amongst the kind of standard costume adventure story of spending time at sea and then getting off and exploring an island. So anyway, Pilgrimage is out courtesy of Indie Picks. Then we have Cornet from Cornet Films, a 2014 comedy called 200,000 Dirty, starring Mark Greenfield and Coolio. Yeah, that Coolio. Of two guys that work at a strip mall mattress store that's going nowhere. And what happens when an Argentinian woman is hired and a plot happens between her her husband, an insurance plan. And, of course, things do not go according to plan. This film feels like it really wants to be a combination of an 80s indie film mixed in with a little bit of Jim Jarmusch, mixed in with a little bit of the 90s independent kind of crime caper. Not quite Pulp Fiction ripoff, but almost the kind of laid-back stoner indie vibe to it that happened in the 80s and 90s. And if you like that, here's your film. So from Cornet Films, 200,000 Dirty. Also, I did last week, I did, with the death of Diana Rigg, I did revisit three films that she appeared in. Of course, starting with the 1968 film version of A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's not the greatest Midsummer Night's Dream. I mean, the acting is fine. It looks like a inexpensive BBC production, as if somebody had borrowed a lord's castle for a weekend and they shot around it. If anything else, you get to see young familiar faces like David Warner, Diana Rigg, Helen Mirren, Ian Holm as Puck, Judy Dench as Titania. So it was fun to watch the lovers, and especially Diana Rigg and Helen Mirren. Also went back and watched On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the underrated James Bond film, the underrated George Lazenby, who just didn't stand a chance. Diana Rigg is a top five Bond woman if you were to keep lists like that, with Miss Moneypenny, Lois Maxwell at the top, in my opinion. But no, she left the Avengers to do this film, and she was able to take some of her Emma Peelness to this role as an equal to James Bond, to George Lazenby. And in more than one interview, Lazenby talked about Rigg's performance made him step up his game, and the fact that she was not a damsel in distress in this particular film. It's really good. And of course, I played the Louis Armstrong song last week, We Have All the Time in the World, and the downest Bond ending in the history of the franchise. So anyway, if you've not seen it, go check it out. It kind of gets pushed aside because it was a one-time deal with George Lazenby. But no, it's actually very good. And then I revisited 1971's dark comedy, The Hospital, with George C. Scott and Diana Rigg, written by Patty Chayefsky, who won Best Original Screenplay that year. This is 4 years before Network. And this was a favorite in my household, my dad being a retired surgeon. Could see the absurdity of the politics in hospitals and the procedures in hospitals. In this, George C. Scott plays the chief surgeon who's suicidal and doesn't feel like he's able to make a difference. And the fact that we have, at that time, 1971, more advanced medical technology than ever before, and everybody is getting more sick than before. The parallels of somebody who's perfectly healthy goes in for a routine checkup and winds up in a coma. A doctor who has a tryst with a nurse and falls asleep in a bed, and the nurse mistakes the doctor for a patient. In this, there is a Native American man who is checked into the hospital. Diana Rigg is a member of the family who is also a nurse, and there's conflict between spiritual healing and medical healing. And Rig is kind of the dream girl for George C. Scott in this. The particular moment that has not aged well is Scott, in a drunken monologue, talks about being impotent, and it is cured when he ravages Diana Rigg's character. Scott got a nomination for this. Very interesting, because he had turned down the Best Actor award for Patton the year before and badmouthed the Academy, but he still got nominated a year later. He's actually that he could be that good at times. So, but yeah, I enjoyed revisiting The Hospital, and it's out there as well. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, before we get to your picks and grabbing a pencil, over at the Tibbs Drive-In, on screen one, we have Tenet. And on the other film to go with Tenet, on screen one, is Alone. A private event for screen two, lucky them. On screen three, they are doing Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Apparently, they're running the series over there. And on screen four at the Tibbs, The New Mutants and the Broken Hearts Gallery. All of that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville, click up, we have School of Rock. Oh, my. Emma would enjoy that on the big screen, as would I. And then that's at 8:30. At 10:30 p.m., the Blues Brothers. And at 1 a.m. on September 19th only, Tommy. I can hear Mrs. Soce making fun of me right now. You know the scene with Anne Margaret. Over at the Can-Can at Monday, September 21st, you have to get reservations. Three stories, a Can-Can conversation about conversation series about sexual assault, and they'll be discussing the documentary The Hunting Ground. Thursday, September 24th is a part of Can-Can Outdoors, Paris is Burning. Wednesday, September 30th, Liberty and Justice for All, screening number 3, 13th, that you have to get reservations for that. All of those are happening this month over at the Can-Can. At IU Cinema, through September 30th, a virtual show of Represent, as well as Pepicha, Made in Bangladesh, and Tuesday, September 22nd, a special virtual event of the 1954 film Animal Farm. Thursday, September 24th through October 3rd, I have to read in advance. The film I used to go there has been rescheduled for October 7th through the 14th. So make a note of that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, friends, grab a pencil. Let's see what you have watched. And didn't get an email from Eric this week. I hope he's doing okay. Starting with Dustin writing, Somebody Up There Likes Me, Beckett, Sweet Charity, Cabaret, The Sunshine Boys, The Goodbye Girl, All That Jazz, the TV film version of The Piano Lesson, and the 2017 version of Murder on the Orient Express. Jeff writes Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Connor writes Event Horizon. Joe writes One Dark Night, Vagrant, Love Type D, Let's Scare Julie, The Nest, All In, The Fight for Democracy, and Fright Night. But he didn't tell us which one. Everin writes, watched Winchester last night. Richard writes, I watched a new James Caviezel faith-based thriller, Infidel. Ryan writes, Henry V, the Kenneth Branagh version, and Smoke. Bonnie writes, Bill and Ted Face the Music, and the remake of Midway. What About Dick, which I cannot recommend highly enough. Jamie writes Live Action Cinderella, Curse of the Black Pearl, Dead Man's Chest at World's End, and On Stranger Tides. Thank you, Jamie. Jed writes Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and showed my son The Mummy from 1932, the Boris Karloff one, and The Mummy's Curse from 1944 with Lon Chaney. He loved them both. Spencer writes, Te Quiero, Imbecile. Nancy writes, The Goonies. Melissa writes, Postgrad, Good Posture, My Spy, and Parenthood. Lou writes, Victor Frankenstein, Diapason, Song Without a Name, all about my mother and love type D. Mark writes Timbuktu. Kevin writes 1917. Nick writes 12 Rounds, Sputnik, The Mole Agent, Time of Your Life, Fright Night, and Fright Night Part 2. Okay, you probably saw the 80s version there, Nick. Cassie writes, I've been binge-watching Shameless. Haven't watched a movie. Sorry. Nothing to be sorry about, Cassie. And yet you posted. No, it's fine. Cindy writes, Hooking Up. Surprisingly not bad. Lila writes, Cuties. Ah, she's one of those that watched it. Very good. I know there's been a big backlash on social media about that. Dave writes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Loved it. Also watched Anthropoid. Really well done. Amanda writes, The Stand. Craig writes, Tempopo. Catherine writes, Game Night, Harriet, Insomnia, Practical Magic, Rocket Man, and Death Becomes Her. Maria writes, Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. That's the remake, I'm sure. Jay writes, Just watched the Nine Lives of Ozzy documentary. Really good. Jessica writes, Young Frankenstein, The Babysitter, and The Babysitter Killer Queen. Doug writes, Divine Madness, Angels Over Broadway, Easy to Love, Elvis, That's the Way It Is, On an Island with You, Magnolia, Five Easy Pieces, Shine a Light, Sun Valley Serenade, One from the Heart, and The Song Remains the Same. Andra Faye writes, The Fabulous Baker Boys, and Hell or High Water. You watched it for Jeff Bridges. I watch it for Michelle Pfeiffer, The Luckiest Piano on the Planet. Britt writes, The Perfect 14, Suffragette, Star Wars The Phantom Menace, Kong Skull Island, Little Women, the Greta Gerwig version, Gridiron Gang, and Man on the Moon. Eric writes, Theory of Everything and Free Solo, the documentary. Yeah, Eric, I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That is a tense film, even if I watched it at my computer desk. Whew. Abby writes, It, Chapter 2. That's part two of it, I'm guessing, not the Neil Simon, just saying. Daniel writes, The High Note, Dark Victory, I'm Thinking of Leaving Him, King of Staten Island, Man of La Mancha, Partners, Making Love, The Man Who Cheated Himself, Sleep My Love, The Stranger, Spy, and Husbands and Wives. I chuckle because when I hear the title Making Love, I think of the film being discussed in the celluloid closet. So thank you, Daniel. Michelle writes, Lost Arrows. Tim writes, Almost Famous. Not a classic, but... Nancy writes, Radioactive and the Burnt Orange Heresy. Taylor writes, My Octopus Teacher, Eyes in the Mirror, Tread, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Nathan Raven just wrote about that on his website, on his blog. Sky Murder, Moulton's Night of Shorts on TCM. Kim writes, Knives Out and Finding Your Feet. Meg writes, The Ocean's Trilogy. Mason writes, I Am Not Your Negro. Chris writes, Capernaum. Molly writes, Captain Marvel, Shazam, Bill and Ted Face the Music, Cabin in the Woods, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, I, Tanya, and Practical Magic. My theme for those last four was movies that featured actors from The West Wing. Thank you, Molly. William writes, Strange Brew and An Ordinary Man. Teresa writes, Selena. It accidentally posted twice, so there you go. Steven writes, Vic and Flo saw a bear, which he deemed tedious and pointlessly ugly. The Pawnbroker from 1964, and as good as I recalled, having not seen it in decades. I'm also on a silent film binge. We watch Sunrise and Ben-Hur. Silent versions, though. Thank you, Steven. Teresa writes, she wrote Selena three times. Wow. And The Da Vinci Code. Jennifer writes, The Postman Always Rings Twice, the Jack Nicholson, Jessica Lange version. John writes, The Three Weird Sisters, 1947 Welsh film, super weird and wonderful. So are you, John. Charity writes, Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 version, and Possession from 2002. Alan writes, All Documentaries, The Last Waltz, 20 Feet from Stardom, and Existential Action, The Legacy of Gina Davis. Mary writes, Behind the Door, It's Not Green, and I'm kidding, and Deep Impact. It's not Beyond either. Joshua writes, Due Date, Guns Akimbo, The Fan, Social Dilemma, Red Dragon, Selfless, Defy Bloods, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Hostels, and The Babysitter, Killer Queen. And then wrote, and then added, I started taking notes since I forgot what I watch. It happens, Joshua. It's all right. Beverly writes, A Wrinkle in Time, second edition, was underimpressed. Christine writes, Palm Springs on Hulu, better than I expected. Daniel writes, We saw the Aeronauts last Friday. There could have been a much more entertaining film about 19th century balloonists. I love the idea, but the execution bored me. Aeronauts, sorry. Brian writes, The Raven, Alive, The Devil All the Time. Ugh, not good. Lisa writes, Becoming Astrid, more beautiful for having been broken, and Sweet Magnolias. That's what she wrote. Gary writes, A Bridge Too Far, X-Men First Class, The New Mutants, The Spy Who Loved Me, The Invaders, the Mario Bava film, Love Me Deadly, Forgotten Women, The H-Man, and Pazuzu. Pat writes, Devil All the Time. Joe writes, Silver Streak. Urkel writes, The Devil, E-R-K-L, sorry. Writes, The Devil All the Time, just released on Netflix. One hell of a movie. Excellent production design, casting, and acting. Really, really well done. Gretchen writes, Manhattan and Becoming. Ben writes, Several of the Diehards and Young Frankenstein. Press pause on Die Hard 2, you'll see me. Rachel writes, The Last Airbender and Secret. Moveen writes, An appropriate film for the current state of affairs. True Justice, Bryan Stevenson's Fight for Equality. Sobering, well-made documentary, emotionally moving. If you are curious about racial inequality, this film will respectfully enlighten you. And she also added, True Justice, an HBO documentary film available at your Indianapolis Public Library. And finally, Chris writes, After watching the cat burglar episode of The Simpsons with my kids, I felt compared to Cher. It's a mad, 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 mad world with them. It would be fun to think about who might star in the film if it were made today. Don't bring that up. And if you added the cast of the Ocean's movies and the Anchorman movies, you'd have a good start. Chris, that happens from time to time where you watch something and it compels you to something else. We had an old rule in our house. When I would bring Emma to work here at WFYI on a Saturday, the rule was she had to watch a classic movie with me before she would go and basically take over my desk and watch YouTube and all the other stuff she did. So one of the ones we wound up watching here was Sunset Boulevard, and she wanted to watch it because I showed her the Vincent Price sketch on Saturday Night Live, which had Kristen Wiig as Gloria Swanson. So one thing leads to another, Chris. Way to go. I know Chris has been on a big crusade of showing stuff to his kids, and I've been trying to do that with mine, but she's also dealing with college from her dining room campus. So there you go, friends. That's it. So hopefully you got some ideas. Hopefully you are watching films that are new, or at least new to you, and as well as falling back on old favorites. So, friends, here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. We're going to end this week's show with a little musical tribute to Ronald Bell, one of the founding members of Kool & the Gang, who died earlier this month. Yes, we're going to play the song that got a second life because of Pulp Fiction, Jungle Boogie. So until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
Parent, are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!